Announcing the For the Love of the Game exhibition, Coach Tom Newell interviews his legendary father, Coach Pete Newell.
Let me ask you this, Coach. Raising the baskets to 11 feet, how does that sound and look to you and what we're going to do up here in Seattle? I understand that over 46 years ago in Berkeley, California, you did that that exhibition yourself. You just won the Olympic gold medal 10 months earlier in the summer of 1960 with Jerry West and Oscar Robertson, two of the all-time greatest players to ever play. And then you decided also in that year to step away as a head coach at Cal Berkeley and become the athletic director. You know, you obviously came away with the thought that something needed to be considered for you to do this exhibition when you did it 10 months later. Could you tell us your thoughts about that and then what we're going to do here in Seattle?
Well, basketball has always been kind of a transient game, but it always stayed within the basics that the first people, the being that brought the game into being. But we kind of got off on a bad track, I think, the fundamentals of the game that was taught so well early, and I'm talking about early in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, 50s, and basketball at that time was a very popular sport. There wasn't a lot of money involved in it, like it is today, and it was not showtime like the game is today. It was a game of thing and shooting and dribbling, and I, for many, many, many years, I never heard the word dunk. But dunk became in the game, it came into the game, and really changed the development of young players many times. Because of their many, many hours they spent on trying to dunk the ball, whereas they never did learn how to shoot the ball off the glass or 10-foot areas where so often it comes into play in our game. And we see now so many players that can dunk the ball but can't shoot it. And as I say, it's showtime, and it has really nothing to do with the game that was invented by these people, and taken, I'm talking to these people, Naismith, who was the one that originally started basketball, and we always did this, and these are things that I want you to understand, they're so important. Rules, new rules that come into the game should only come by a experimentation. I'm not so good at words anymore. Experimentation. Experiment. In 1938, 39, right in there, just before the war, and when so many of our future soldiers and sailors and Marines and all were starting to, they didn't want to be drafted, which the draft was eligible then. They wanted to choose their line, whether it was the Marines or soldier or whatever. And the game at that time, we came up with these new rules, but nobody, I shouldn't say nobody, but because of the war and the impending, and we knew, all of us knew, it was my time, that we were going to go to war. And it made it quite obvious, and it was just a question of when. And basketball, in these new rules, hardly had a showing. Coaches didn't even want to try playing the game that the elimination of the center jump I'm referring to. And because this rule is the most important rule in the history of basketball. When Sam Barry, the USC coach, is the one that fought to have this come into basketball. And what it brought in to basketball was the fast break, the press defense, and so many other aspects that were maybe not as large as those, but were parts of the game that that the elimination of the center jump brought into the game. And but there was a period of time that was out of order, and there was nobody thinking about basketball for about 2 years. So it wasn't until 1945-46 did we really get, and that's, I say that because I was just starting my college coaching, and in that period, 1946, I just got out of the service, and it was a great period of being a young coach. You didn't know what you're doing, but you didn't know that you didn't know what you're doing, so you're kind of happy, and everybody was kind of happy anyway because the war was over, and we started to be creative. And which I think is lost in basketball today, being creative. I think in high schools we have too much system of play and not enough creativity by a player making a decision whether he's going to dribble, shoot, or pass. And we don't, you know, we've kind of bypassed all that. And so anyway, that was a period. If you really want to get into basketball and change, it's in about 1938 to 1945 was the change of the rules, but very, very little use of them because of the war. Yeah, I didn't want to go any further.
When you had that opportunity in 1961 to have your exhibition game, did you have any idea of going into it that you would see as many fast break opportunities I remember you sharing with me that there weren't any block shots.
There's so many things that showed up that I didn't, you know, anticipate. But I did have an open mind on it. I was one of the ones who was pushing for this, and a big magazine from New York, and I knew the sports editor of it, and he was very well known nationally. And he asked me if I would be part of experimenting with this. And I said, sure, I want to find out, too. Is it a direction that we want to go? We always got to think of that, you know, the game. Today we have to think of that. We're not doing it very good, but we got to think about how we can make the game better and adjust it. So anyway, we put the baskets up. We put it up a little higher, as I remember, 11 and a half. That would be just too high from the 10-foot. And you've got to realize that the 10-foot rule for the placing the basket was only because when they first put the basket up there, the only place they could nail anything on was 10 feet from the floor. And that's what Naismith used as the point where you put the basket up there. And it's never been changed, in spite of the fact that we have players that can dunk the ball actually with their teeth, I think some of them, if they were trying to. But this is something that really basketball has kind of passed up, I think, the 10-foot basket. And I think we see some of these other things that are happening that are showtime, but they're not really for the game. Yeah.
So do you think the creativity part that you say is missing today in basketball, especially given the athletes that we have in high school and college and even professional, do you think by raising the basket that we would see more creativity in the sequence of plays?
Well, I think you'd see a different basketball game, the game that we had in the 50s and 60s and 70s, I think. We'd have more center play. Here are some of the things that I was really surprised at. We had, Rennie Hilarious had his players, and we got permission from the NCAA to do this, his team. And they averaged during the year, they were, like I was, very careful about the shots that we took. So we took a little longer than most teams. And Rennie Steen was, you know, same. He played it and coached it and also that's what he knew, and that's what I knew, and so that's what we started with. And the point I'm getting at was that in this skirmish, the same amount of time, the same guys that were shooting about 72, we took good stats on this, 72 a game, were in the 90s, 92.
Wow.
And why? Well, it was because the raised basket, when the shot was missed, it came out a lot farther, and it's almost like the first pass of a fast break for the other team, and because it came out so far. That was one of the things, and there was a lot. The only problem was at the end, there's no dunk. You had to shoot the ball. You had to lay it up. So even at times, that was always pretty tough to do. I think eventually players would develop a shot in the basket area that we didn't have in that experimentation. But it was something that I didn't expect, and that's one reason we had so many points and both teams playing. Another thing that we found, we had two players that were 7 feet. They were young sophomores. One was a sophomore, one was a freshman, as I recall. And they were both good shot blockers, you know, for a college player. We didn't have one block shot in the game. And the reason for that, I figured later, was the angle of the shot, you know, as it was taken, rises higher than if you shot, say, a jump shot from, say, the three-point shot area. And two-handed, we had a couple of kids use two-handed shots. And they were pretty effective. They had no problem getting the ball up there. But it created skills. I mean, you know, I just don't think jumping basketball is a skill, but it is. I think it's overused.
And
I think passing and dribbling and shooting were the basics of the game.
Right.
And then blocking shots because of the raised arc, that happened also. So anyway, it was very eye opening, and I'm not saying that we should adopt it right now, but I do think we should experiment with it, because
right.
I think a lot of people are getting sick and tired of the dunk.
Yeah, I agree with you. So are you looking forward to hearing the information on the exhibition game here in Seattle and how the statistics turn out and seeing a video of it?
Did I see that?
Would you be interested in hearing about it when it's
very
finished?
Much.
Okay. Okay.
Very much, and
good.
I think you'd find a lot of things that I haven't even talked about. It just passed by my memory, I guess. But it's something that basketball got to where it is by experimentation.
Right.
And experimentation is when before they adopt a rule, they put it in with one sector of the country. Maybe at a conference, Pac-10 is the one that put in for the for a year. They had their conference put in the jump ball change, and that was really something. And then we came up with the 10-second line, and that was necessary because people were holding the ball in the backcourt.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
We don't have coaches now. They're spending too much, or they're making too damn much money to spend thinking about the game.
That's a good point. We want to thank you, Coach Newell, for taking the time to visit with us today and share your wealth and knowledge and experience with our listeners. We are blessed for the experience of having you, Coach Pete Newell, a teacher, a coach, and a great man to the game of basketball, become a part of our family sports life today. Dad, on behalf of Guy and Jay with Family Sports Life, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Okay, I enjoyed it, Tom, and tell the coaches that I appreciate their listening.
Thanks for joining us. If folks listening have a question or comment on this or any other Family Sports Life Today program, please give us a call and we'll try to use it in a future episode. We're at 206-202-6224. That's 206-20-COACH. Or send us email, familysportslifetoday@gmail.com.
And please visit our website at familysportslifetoday.com. You can listen to these programs online or subscribe and download them to your iPod or other MP3 players. If you subscribe, you will automatically receive future episodes.
Hey, coaches. Hey, parents. Hey, kids. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a great family sports life today.